The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. The answer.
All right, onward we roll. It is 10:35. Thanks for being with us on AM 1420. The answer. It's always right radio. Great conversation with Dr. Everett Piper from Oklahoma. Now we're going to go a little bit closer to Ohio, but still outside, just south of us, we find Kentucky, and that's where a representative, Congressman Tom Massie, resides. And he joins us now on AM 1420. The answer, Congressman. It's good to have you on our program. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Now, my congressional district includes the entire border between Kentucky and Ohio, so we're always on the lookout for the Buckeye Navy to come across the river.
That's beautiful. Well, we're going to call you an honorary Buckeye, at least for today,
okay.
Anyway.
Okay. We do have the Cincinnati Airport in my district.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right. I like that. I'm gonna call you one of ours then. We'll claim you, especially with the good work that you're doing, Congressman. I spoke at length with your colleague, John Lott, twice in the past 2 weeks. When I say colleague, of course, I mean in terms of some of the work you've done. I didn't know you had co-written 20 articles with John R. Lott, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. But we were talking about this new national red flag resource center that the Department of Justice is endeavoring to create, and you and he wrote a piece opposing this, and so I'm glad to have you on to kind of follow up on what he and I talked about. Can you give us your summary of why this red flag center is unconstitutional, Congressman?
Yeah, first of all, John Lott's amazing. He's not a congressman, but he is a colleague, and we have written a lot of papers together. You know, down in Nashville, when somebody tries to rip off the songwriter, they say they add a word and get a third of the royalties. It's called add a word, get a third. That's kind of That's how I go with John Lott. Like, he writes a rough draft, and then I tune it up for him. But we have co-authored a lot of papers because he comes with facts. He comes with numbers. He's a human encyclopedia. He's literally taken on Bloomberg, the whole anti-gun front, by himself. He's written multiple books. And this latest thing that really troubles us is this National Red Flag Center. When I say we, I mean Congress, not me, because this was Nancy Pelosi's Congress, and I didn't vote for it. But a few years ago, they put money in so that the feds could send money to the state that ran red flag program. And the problem is they've taken that money and they've set up a central federal website. Now, there was no authorization, no legal authorization for the Fed to set up this central website. And right now they say, oh, it's just to disseminate information on how to establish a red flag law, et cetera, resources. Eventually, you know what that's going to morph into, Bob. It's going to be a database, a federal database. And that's why we have to nip this in the bud and call it out.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I'm so glad to see that you are working so closely with John, and because he is, I think, one of the most knowledgeable individuals about Second Amendment rights and about what the goal is of things like this going forward. So I'm glad that you do consider him a colleague and that you consult one another on these kinds of things. The people need to know exactly how, jeopardized their Second Amendment rights are. So I'm so glad to see that. Congressman Thomas Massie from Kentucky, by way of Cincinnati, let's talk about what happened yesterday. The FISA reauthorization, 702 reauthorization, went down to defeat, and you had some interesting observations. I quoted you yesterday in your tweet in which you actually posted pictures, either you or some of your team members posted pictures of the carve-out for members of Congress, that other Americans may be surveilled without a warrant, but if anybody in the three-letter agencies want to start taking a look at you guys in Congress, well, you have to be made aware of such things and essentially be able to sign off on such surveillance, which, of course, is completely improper. But it did go down to defeat yesterday. What can you say about it this morning?
Yeah, well, you know, that provision, which I ferreted out and exposed, is, no pun intended, a big red flag. It should be a signal to everybody that this bill is not constitutional. If members of Congress are not comfortable with this level of spying, or backdoor spying, as they call it, on everybody, if they're so uncomfortable that they have to carve out provisions to protect themselves from this authority, then all of America should be concerned. And what we're really trying to do is make sure we get a warrant in there. You know, the Constitution, we just talked about the Second Amendment. Now we're talking about the Fourth Amendment. It guarantees you a right to be secure in your effects and your things and your private documents. And if the government wants to keep the security and the peace, invade that privacy, pierce that veil, they have to have probable cause, mm-hmm. and name the things they're going after and get a search warrant. So what we're trying to do with the FISA reauthorization, by the way, this is supposed to be aimed at foreign intelligence targets, but they turn it on to domestic. It's going to expire, and we're using this opportunity to try and reform it and to try and get that warrant provision in there. And by the way, shout out to two great Buckeyes, Jim Jordan, mm-hmm. who's the chair of the Judiciary Committee, who has fought harder than anybody else to get this warrant provision in there. And another shout out to Warren Davidson, who is a congressman from Ohio, who has fought really hard to get a bill passed that says the Fourth Amendment is not for sale. Right now, the government is buying your data from companies, and they're buying it because it's easier than spying on you sometimes. And the problem with that is they still need to get a warrant. Just because somebody will sell it to you doesn't mean it's legally and constitutionally collected. So Warren Davidson is saying, no, we're not going to let the federal government buy this data unless they've got a warrant to buy it. That's what we're fighting on. What happened yesterday has been widely misinterpreted. It was basically a procedural vote that went down. It wasn't a vote on the FISA bill itself. It was a double-edged sword. There were 19 Republicans who joined all of the Democrats to take down that procedural vote. And incidentally, what they did is they also took down our opportunity to vote on whether you have a warrant or not in that bill. So they was sort of like there was some friendly fire going on,
yeah.
in their tactical legislative parliamentary, you know, move there. So, you know, I didn't participate in that. Neither did Jim Jordan or Warren Davidson, because we were so focused on trying to get these reforms to the floor. And today they're trying to pick up the pieces right now, and they're trying to negotiate a way to bring it to the floor again and make sure that we have that vote on that warrant requirement, which is so critical. Again, instead of giving carve-outs to members of Congress, we should treat everybody the same. We shouldn't have rules for thee and not me. And that rule should be the Constitution. Get a warrant.
Yeah, Congressman Thomas Massie is our guest, representative from Kentucky, joining us to talk about this FISA reauthorization of 702 in the FISA Act yesterday. You said there was some friendly fire, and there certainly was. The left is presenting it much more dramatically, saying that the GOP is eating its own because of some of the disagreements here. And in fact, since you mentioned Jordan and Davidson, we'll talk about the House Intelligence Committee chair, another Ohioan, Mike Turner, that said, look, this is not warrantless surveillance of American citizens. He went on CNN just a couple of days ago and said this is surveillance of foreigners who are abroad. We are not surveilling foreigners in the United States, and we are not surveilling Americans in the United States. Those who say it's a warrantless search of Americans' data are just not telling the truth. These are foreigners abroad, a select group of individuals who are a national security threat. Can you tell me how you responded to him and how you respond to it now?
Well, this is a game of semantics, really. And almost everything he said in there is true, but you got to understand what he said. This information is actually collected in the United States using U.S. data providers, because a lot of foreign traffic goes through the United States. And it's collected with foreign individuals as the targets. Okay, but there are 250,000, roughly, individuals who are targeted. And we're sweeping up millions of emails. And what happens is sometimes, you know, Mary Catherine sends 10,000 emails, 100 of those might get swept up in this, or maybe 1,000 of those are swept up in this. So we've seen from, and we know this from the Inspector General, the FBI has abused this program, the NSA has abused this program. So, for instance, I think Mike Turner would say, you know, we're only targeting Hamas and potential terrorists, but they're also targeting businessmen overseas and cabinet members and government. And the way this program is abused can give you some insight into what kind of data is in there. There's an NSA employee who did an inappropriate search using this database on a Tinder date, okay? Somebody that he was dating using an app wanted to do some research. Now, that NSA employee was not looking for evidence of Hamas connections, probably looking for evidence of who else this person may have dated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So this database is a lot broader than they let on to be. And what they're claiming, the other side is claiming, is since we've already got this database and we didn't break any laws collecting all of this information, we shouldn't have to get a warrant to, you know, to put Bob France's name in the query and see what pops out. And we're saying, no, you collected that information under a program that's designed to spy on foreigners. It's not even subject to constitutional limits. So it's outside of criminal law, so you shouldn't include it in searches that the FBI is doing.
Well, that's great clarity, and I'm glad we have that, because you're right. It is confusing. It is semantics, and a lot of that can be used to really confuse the American people. But the bottom line at the end of all of this, and I'm so glad you found the carve-out for congressmen, too, is if there is going to be surveillance of anybody, get a warrant, whether they're a member of Congress or not. And that's the bottom line here, is people need to know that you and Davidson and Jordan and the others who defeated this thing, you want to make sure that the proper procedures are followed and that a warrant is indeed issued before any surveillance of anybody can happen, because we are living in a very, very precarious time right now where so many of our freedoms are in jeopardy. We just talked about Second Amendment, but for crying out loud, our Fourth Amendment rights need to be respected just as much as the Second and the First.
That's right. You can't have security. You can't have freedom if the government knows every step that you take, particularly with a government now that has been weaponized. They are censoring individuals. They are tracking your purchases. This we know because I serve on another committee with Jim Jordan and Warren Davidson, the Weaponization of Government Committee. Mm-hmm. And through subpoenas and whistleblowers, we have discovered the level of weaponization goes pretty deep. We cannot be giving this government more power, and the Constitution is designed to constrain their powers, and so we need to abide by it carefully. And that's what we'll be fighting for here today, is to try and get that warrant requirement in there. Now, the other side... Yeah, they'll also say, oh, they'll stop us from catching the terrorists, but that's absolutely not true. They've never given us one example where that's the case.
Congressman, I'm told I've got about 3 minutes left with you, so I want to ask you about another question about our freedoms here and our freedoms to make our own decisions when it comes to medical decisions. They're touting the bird flu now. You tweeted about this about a week ago, too, that birds are apparently affecting dairy cows, and it's going to be very easily transmissible to humans. It's going to be perhaps more deadly than COVID was. And here we are, 6.5 months from an election. I can already see we're going to need to mask up. We're going to need to... socially distanced, and we're going to need to use drop boxes, and we're going to need to use mail-in voting to avoid contaminating everybody. We've seen this movie before. We know how it played out, and we know how many people lost their jobs and lost their freedoms because of the way COVID was handled. What can you tell us? What will the position that the Republicans in Congress be about this this new avian flu outbreak that they are touting?
Well, COVID tyranny was the worst in my lifetime. The tyranny that we've experienced there. They shut down churches. They kept you from traveling. They made you take medical treatments you didn't want and that could be hurtful to you and that you didn't need. And I'm just worried that this could be the beginning of it again. You know, we've discovered that the government was actually experimenting with bird flu and trying to see how it could be transmitted to mammals. And then lo and behold, here you have a year later, just like with the Wuhan research on COVID, SARS-CoV-2, boom, it's in our domestic food supply. But I just like the other thing, whether it was man-made or man-encouraged, they're going to use it to motivate all sorts of bad things. Here are the things they're going to try to motivate that they're already doing here in Congress. Number one, everything they did with COVID, they're going to try and do again, I'm afraid. Number two, they're already saying you can't drink raw milk. They're always after my raw milk. I'm going to ignore them on this one. I'm going to keep drinking my raw milk. Then they're also trying to get electronic ID tags for all cattle, and they're trying to say this is in the name of safety, but we know it's a lot of the globalists who want to reduce the number of cattle, and in order to reduce the number of anything, you have to know how many there are. You have to track them. You have to know who owns them. And so they're going to use this avian bird flu transmitted to cattle to argue that they need these electronic tags on all cattle, that you shouldn't drink raw milk, and all sorts of other things. So, you know, color me skeptic on this, because I've had a front row seat to the lies that CDC and FDA told during COVID and are still telling.
Well, I'm glad you're in that front row and that you are willing to tell everybody what you are, the lies that you are uncovering, because you're right. I agree with you. COVID tyranny was unlike any other tyranny in my lifetime and maybe in the 250 years or so of the United States, honestly. And I'm worried that that was only the trial run, that it was something that is going to lead to even more authoritarianism and totalitarianism, quite frankly, at the hands of the federal government. So I'm glad to know we have people out like you out there fighting against that. So Representative Thomas Massie, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. Keep up the great work. I hope we can talk again.
Great talking to you, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. All right. As we wrap that conversation, breaking news. Just found this out. It came across my screen in a text message from my son, of all people. O.J. Simpson has begun his eternal roasting in the fires of hell. O.J. Simpson, who killed his wife and her friend in the most unbelievable manner in the most high profile murder situation / trial certainly of the 20th century and maybe of all time. I guess we'd have to go back and think about the Manson murders and some others, but boy, O.J. Simpson is dead. He died at the age of 76. Cause of death, don't know yet, just cancer. Literally cancer.
That's what the Post is reporting.
Did you know he had cancer?
I did not. The New York Post says he died after a cancer battle.
Okay. I did not know that. I did not know that. It's kind of weird because typically anything OJ makes news.
Yeah.
And if he had been diagnosed with cancer, whenever that was, you would have thought that, because you know what there would have been. There would have been people celebrating that and saying, good, he's getting what he deserves. He got away from murder. He got away with murder and so on and so forth. But at any rate, I did not know that. But O.J. Simpson has died, they say now, of cancer, according to what the New York Post said. And this is going to relaunch the whole conversation about O.J. Simpson and about did he do it? And, of course, he did it. And how could the jury have let him off for it? And the, you know, that's when the true weaponization of race really, really began, I think, in this country, particularly as it pertains to police, because when they found out that one of the officers who investigated the thing had used the N-word in his life at some point somewhere and said clearly he'd be willing to frame a black man for this murder, despite every single piece of forensic DNA, every type of evidence that there is pointing. There's a reason, by the way, why they're not still looking, because they already found him. You know, if he's acquitted and that's a legitimate acquittal, that means the killer is still out there somewhere. And guess what? Investigators and detectives would have been searching for the last 30 years for that person. But there's nowhere else to look, because every time they start looking, evidence points right back to O.J. Simpson.
You never heard of the conspiracy that it was his son?
I have.
That's why the glove didn't fit, because his son's would fit.
I have heard that, but I'm also just not stupid.
Well, the earth is flat too.
And trying to put a leather glove on over a rubber surgical glove is not going to go on very, very easily at all. It is one of the dumbest things in the history of the world. And Johnny Cochran, to his credit, when I say this, I mean this from a legal standpoint. It's his job to try to get his guy off. I don't begrudge him that. That's how the system works. But he came up with the most famous phrase in the history of jurisprudence, I think, ever, when he said, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. I mean, the whole thing. Kick out the DNA evidence. Kick out the blood of Nicole Brown Simpson on the inside of OJ's car. Forget about all of the evidence that was there. The glove didn't fit. You saw him struggle to put that on. The glove didn't fit, so you must acquit. And the jury said, okay. Sorry, I'm just launching what is going to happen now for the next probably week or so. All of national media is going to relitigate the O.J. Simpson trial, and I'm going to tell you how I have litigated it and how I have actually judged it and how I have actually decided on the sentence. Yes, I didn't start out this, the breaking news announcement here by saying O.J. Simpson has died. I started out by saying O.J. Simpson has begun his eternal roasting in the fires of hell, because that's what I believe is happening right now. Film at 11. We'll be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.